Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
John chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Let's open our hearts to God's word. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified. But he called out to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. If you were here last week, you would remember the context that this story is unfolding, and Jesus has received the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Wanted to get with his disciples to a deserted place, crossed the sea, got in a boat, crossed the Sea of Galilee, got out. The crowd was already waiting for him there. He healed them. He fed them. And then he sent them away. He sent the disciples into the boat. He sent the multitude away. And he went up a mountain. We would understand that to be a hill. He climbed a hill to be with the Father. It says the disciples were in this boat, and a gale or a very strong wind swept in, and it says this, upon them, swept in upon them. And currently, at this moment, it says that they're about 3 or 4 miles. It says they have rowed 3 or 4 miles. So from where they were leaving the shore, they're about 3 or 4 miles away from the shore. The Sea of Galilee is approximately 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. And from the point where they put in to the point where they were, where we estimate that they were getting out, is very probably, at least possibly, six miles across, six or a little bit more. But even if it was the widest part, that's 8 miles. They've rowed three or four miles. Do you know where that puts them? Smack dab in the middle of trouble. And depending on the wind, and I mean, going back is as far as going forward, and they're stuck. Jesus has actually told the disciples to get into the boat and to go across the water. Matthew tells us it was Jesus that tells them to do that, and so John doesn't reveal his command or his order to them. John just reveals that they were waiting, and he didn't yet come, and so they did what he told them to do. They got in the boat and away they went. And as they've left the shore, they're 3 or 4 miles out. They can't see Jesus. They can't see him. It's dark. It's night. He's nowhere in sight. John doesn't phrase it this way, but Mark does. It says that Jesus, he saw them straining. So even though that they could not see Jesus, he could see them. And that's a very encouraging thought. Even though they could not see Jesus, he could see them. And it says he could see them straining. Have you ever been in the middle of a storm? In the middle of a struggle where you can't see Jesus? You may not be able to see him, but he can see you. Just like when John talked a few moments ago about may not be aware of the presence of God, can't see him, can't hear him, can't feel him. Sometimes life gets like that. I know you're around here somewhere, or you're supposed to be, but just that sense of I can't see you, but Jesus can still see you. You may not be able to hear his voice, but he can hear yours, and that's why we continue to pray. You may not be able to hear his voice, but he can hear your voice. And it says that he didn't just see them, it says he saw them straining. When Mark uses that word straining, 12 times in the New Testament it shows up, and it's translated different than strain. It's translated torment. Jesus, have you showed up, Son of Man? Have you showed up to torment us before our time? It's this word of torment. Nine times it's translated torment. Other times it's being tossed to and fro. Other times it's straining, as John records it here. But it has to do with torment. Even we would get the word torture. It has to do with pain and struggle and being tossed to and fro. Wouldn't it be nice if God just kept us from all of that? From torment and from pain and from suffering? So God, can we just get a pass on that? Well, in fact, that was God's intent, that we wouldn't experience pain and suffering and sorrow and heartache. In the day that you eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. He never wanted us to experience, to be touched so closely with evil. Don't eat of that tree. It was never God's plan for us to experience torment. Getting in the boat was his idea. Getting to the other side was his idea. But nowhere does it indicate that the storm was his idea. He gave them a command. He gave them the directive to go get in the boat, go across the water. They waited and waited for him. He didn't show up, and off they went because he said to. But nowhere does it indicate the storm was his idea. And sometimes people blame Jesus for the storm. See, the disciples weren't doing anything wrong. They were just doing what he had told them to do. And as they do, as they step out, as they obey, there's a storm that shows up, and sometimes people are surprised by that. We're just doing what you asked us to do, what you told us to do, and a storm comes, and he gets the blame for the storm. Follow this path. Head this direction. Take this job. Attend this school. Marry this person. And things may start well, but all of a sudden a storm arises. And we say, God, what were you thinking? Well, he wasn't thinking that he was causing a storm. There are storms that just happen in life. Following his path, sometimes a storm crashes in on us. But somehow, some way, through the distance and through the dark, Jesus could see them. Through the distance and through the dark, Jesus could see them. And he could see them straining. And even though they couldn't see him, he could see them. And when God seems distant to you in whatever you face, sometimes we go through stuff and we're so surprised. We get a phone call. We get a knock at the door. I don't know what it is that takes place. And we say, God, where are you? I wasn't expecting this storm. We know this, that even though when we can't see him and we can't make heads or tails out of what is happening, we know this, that he can see us. And we know this, that he cares. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't know what you're facing, but he can see you. I'm sure if you have kids or if you've looked after kids, there may have been times where you could see them when they couldn't see you. Maybe it's a time in a very crowded grocery store or mall or something, and you just give them a little space, noticing that they are not noticing you're not there anymore. And that whether it's coat racks or whatever, you stand off the side to just let them go a little and then discover, okay, I shouldn't do this. And where's mom or dad? And then you're right there. Maybe it's the first time they walk to school on their own. They have no idea that you were under the surveillance bush or whatever. Maybe the first time they cross the street. I'm not talking about helicopter parenting. And I'm not so great at not helicopter parenting. I remember Audrey said to me, it was a few years ago, I was looking out the window as our daughters were going somewhere. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching them cross the street. She said, Robin's lived in Europe for 3 months and traveled to Switzerland and France and Italy and yeah, whatever. And you're watching her cross the street to make sure she's okay? I said, yep. Yeah. Rock Point Church, corner of Lock End Road and Crowchild Trail. One time I toured through there looking at building, their structure and just how the building was laid out as we were considering building. One of the things that stood out to me is their nursery, because they had a one-way glass in their nursery. So you could stand in the hallway and you could look in at your kids and see them. But when they looked out, all they saw was a mirror. And it's interesting, because sometimes I think that's what life is like. When we look, all we can see is what we're facing, and it's just looking back at us. But the whole time, God can see us. Jesus could see the disciples. The Bible tells us that his eye is on the sparrow, and so much more. Our Father's eye is on his kids. He watches over us. His eye is on the sparrow. You're worth so much more than a sparrow. But it is a troubling thing. I remember years ago walking into the church building before a Sunday morning service, and on the sidewalk was a dead sparrow. And I remember looking up at God and just saying, did you see that one? You know, this moment of things happen, his eye is on this, but you caught that? And even though his eye is on the sparrow, or his eye is on us in the midst of the storm, it doesn't just mean everything's all going to be okay. I so appreciated John saying, accept Christ into your life. It doesn't just mean every problem goes away. But he's with you in it. And hopefully, as we recognize that he can still see us, it gives us a sense of comfort and hope and strength and courage. And then in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of it, they see something. They see something or someone coming towards them. And now they're scared. It's a ghost. It's a spirit. It's an apparition. It's Davy Jones. I mean, they just don't know. All they know is it's getting closer all the time. They're terrified. They're afraid. The word that John uses is phobia. 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 It means suddenly struck by fear. Suddenly struck. So in this moment, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the storm, they see something or someone walking towards them, coming towards them, and they are struck by fear. New Living Translation, we read it, says they're terrified, filled with terror, phobia. I think it's really good as we read through God's word. I do this. I'm sure that you do as well. Just to stop and imagine, put yourself in that place and start thinking through some of the context of what was taking place. Let's just back up and review. Where are they? How far away from the shore are they? 3 to 4 miles. And they see 6 kilometers. There's the Canadian. and they see what we know to be Jesus walking towards them. If you walk roughly the average walking speed of 3 miles an hour, does this mean he has been walking for an hour? When we talk about him walking on the water, I mean, I've done that. It's got to be pretty cold outside. And they usually have skates on. But, yeah, I mean, was he walking on the water 3 or 4 miles? Has it been an hour that he's walked on the water? We don't know. And the rest of the story is interesting, how the disciples will just get to the other side just when he gets in the boat. We don't know. But thinking through, and not only was he, like, I don't know what the Greek word is. I didn't look it up about walking, but he's gaining on them. Was he jogging? Like the speed at which it doesn't seem like the wind was affecting him. And if we had looked at the other Gospels, we see he might have just kept on walking past by them, because he's making better time than they are. But how long has he been walking on the water? And instead of them calling out to him, we hear this, he calls out to them. Do you know what the first thing he says to them is? Don't be afraid. The Bible revealed that they were phobic. They were terrified. And Jesus speaks right to that. And he says, do not be afraid. Which is very interesting, because afraid is not something that you do. Afraid is something that you be. Do not be afraid. Afraid is not something you do. Afraid is something that you be. Do not be afraid. Oh, it causes you to do all kinds of things, fear. Do not be that way. Do not be afraid. New King James will say, take courage. Other versions will say, be of good cheer. And then I love the phrasing in the New Living that we're reading, because he says this, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am here. I am here. Other versions will say, it is I. Other gospels will say, it is I. But the language is identical to when Jesus talks about the great I am. I am. It's the same phrasing. And he says to them, I am here. Don't be afraid. I am here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And I will not be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. He'll never leave us and never forsake us, because his presence is with us. Whether we can see him or not, whether we can feel him or not, whether we can hear him or not, don't be afraid. I am here. When they figure out it's Jesus, it says that they were eager to let him in the boat. And when he gets in the boat, it says that they immediately arrive at their destination, which is this miraculous moment. I don't know how they got there. All I know is they did. All I know is that when Jesus got in the boat, everything changed. Do not be afraid. I am here. And they arrive to their destination. For those in the midst of the storm today, or preparing for a storm that you may face, when you can't see Jesus, remember this, he can see you. And you don't have to wait to call out to him, because often he will just call out to you, say, I'm here, I'm here. And we respond by not being afraid, by allowing him in. It says they eagerly let him in the boat. There's another phrase in scripture where it talks about eagerly. It says that he is returning for those who are eagerly awaiting his appearing. And as you let him in, just like the disciples, he will take you where he's called you to go. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, thank you that you are good and that you are present. And thank you that the storms of this life, they were not your plan. Thank you that you can use them to bring out your purposes, but you never intended the storms, and you didn't intend to sink us. Intended to save us. May we trust you as we rest in the fact that you can see us even when we can't see you. Just like the disciples eagerly allowed you in, God, we open our hearts and lives to you. We welcome you in our lives. Even in the midst of the dark, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the middle of the night, we welcome you in. We eagerly welcome you into the middle of where we are, even when we're stuck or we're struggling. Or being tormented, Jesus, come and bring your peace and bring us safely home, we pray. In Jesus' name. This is what Psalm 107 says. Lord, help! They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Listen to that again. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing that stillness was as he brought them safely into harbor. You know, we read this account out of John's gospel. And we don't know everything. In fact, at the end of John, it will talk about that if everything were written down that Jesus did or said or taught, the miraculous, even possibly all of the books in the world couldn't contain them. But John doesn't tell us the whole story. Something else happened in that moment. We know that John wrote about Peter. In fact, in the end of John's gospel, he'll talk about Peter. And he'll simply say that John could outrun Peter to the grave. A Resurrection Sunday. I'm faster than Peter. And so we know he talked about him, but John doesn't talk about Peter in this moment of what happened. What happened was, as they thought it was a ghost, a spirit, an apparition coming towards them, Jesus said, "Don't fear, it is I." What Matthew records is then Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come." And Jesus invited Peter to get out of that boat and walk on the water. It's not mentioned in John's gospel. It's not mentioned in Mark. In fact, Luke doesn't even talk about this. But Matthew tells us there is more happening than we knew. This miraculous moment for Peter. Maybe you're here today or watching online, and I've talked about storms, and there's more happening in your story that maybe anybody knows what's going on in your life. Maybe there's a struggle that you're facing. I just really want to speak to this. I wasn't planning on it. Just felt like the Lord deposited this right here, right now, for someone or someones. Maybe the storm is so great, you're wondering if it's worth going on. You're wondering if life is worth living. You're wondering, and nobody knows the struggle you're in. You're wondering if you want to face tomorrow or the tomorrows. You see no way out other than one way. You need to hear what I just said earlier. God sees you. God sees you. His eye is on the sparrow. So much more. His eye is on you. And so maybe there's more going on in your story that nobody knows. Maybe you don't even want to let on. But loved one, whatever anyone is facing, my prayer for you is that you can trust Jesus, that He is there. When He says, "I am here," He's saying, "I am whatever you need me to be. I will be your strength. I will be your hope. I will be your rock. I will be your Savior. I will be your healer. I will be with you. And you don't need to fear." And would your response be part of the story that we didn't read? Jesus, if that's you, okay, I'm in. If that's you, call me out upon the water. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And I don't know, I'll just take a step. I take a step of faith towards you. And no matter how that goes, no matter how long you walk on that water, or if things turn out so well that you just dance on the water with Jesus, or if you step out and it feels like you're sinking, I know this, that Jesus, like He did for Peter, He'll just reach out and grab your hand. And He will not let go. Don't let go of Him. Don't let go of Him. He will not let go. And the enemy can't take you from His hand. No one, the enemy, will not snatch you from His hand, will not catch you away. Hang on to Jesus. Take the step. Believe. He is saying these words, "I am with you." Reach out to Him.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.